The station which is your destination for mind-filling treats and the sound of the big beat. The mystery train you are riding upon is taking you to Hotel Bohemia. And check-in is now.
The ranks like any other man, scholar, attorney, governor too. Now he's ready for 72. Georgie Wallace, leader of our land.
Hurry, hurry, hurry. Everybody into the big carnival tent. Right this way to the greatest show on earth. Here you'll see freaks and human oddities of all stripes. Fire eaters, clowns, and contortionists of various shapes and sizes. That's right, ladies and gentlemen. We'll be making a whistle stop to your town very shortly. So buy your ticket and take your chances. That time again, folks. Another presidential election season. Deja vu for me and you. Joe, Don, and Kay Jr. are taking their positions at the starting gate, preparing for the long, greasy Democratic slide. And if you're not exhausted already, just wait. You will be. By the time November rolls around, you'll be gasping for breath for want of oxygen. But Bill and Rich, the splendid Bohemians, have a musical reminder for you that as bad as you think things are now, presidential races of yore were pretty ghastly too. Let's take a gander at a couple by way of their campaign songs. So join us as we rummage through the hamper of presidential politics for its dirtiest laundry.
Is voting for Jack, 'cause he's got what all the rest lack. Everyone wants to back Jack. Jack is on the right track, 'cause he's got high hopes.
Similarly, quite unconsciously, to Clinton in the same way. There was a notion that he was this pharaoh with this immense phallus, and that he was going to be good for America. And the fact that he had many women, it didn't matter. Ramses II had also had many women, something like 100 wives and 500 concubines and 1,000 children. So that gave Clinton this great strength. All the things that the Republicans have been trying to destroy him by, with his sex life, was now his strength.
Who never did a noble deed, who of the people took no heed, who is the worst of tyrant's breed? Van Buren, who rules us with an iron rod, who moves at Satan's beck and nod, who heeds not man, who hears not God. Van Buren, who would his friends, his country sell, do other deeds too base to tell, deserves the lowest place in hell. Van Buren. So if you think politicians go negative these days, remember the Harrison-Van Buren conflict of 1840.
That's not an invasion.
Honestly, I think you should let me run the country. You run CNN. All right. And if you did it well, your ratings would be much better.
If I may ask one other question, are you worried?
That's enough. That's enough.
Mr. President, I was going to ask one of the other folks. Pardon me, ma'am. Mr. President, I had one other question, if I may ask, on the Russia investigation. Are you concerned that you may have—
I'm not concerned about anything with the Russian investigation because it's a hoax. That's enough. Put down the mic.
Mr. President, are you worried about indictments coming down in this investigation?
When somebody tells you he's for Barry Goldwater, you ask him which Barry Goldwater he's for. Is he for the one who said, we must make the fullest possible use of the United Nations? Or is he for the one who said, the United States no longer has a place in the UN? Is he for the Barry who said, I've never advocated the use of nuclear weapons anywhere in the world? Or is he for the one who said, I'd drop a low-yield atomic bomb on the Chinese supply lines in North Vietnam? Is he for the Barry who said, I seek the support of no extremist? Or is he for the one who said, extremism in the defense of liberty is no vice? And how is a Republican supposed to indicate on his ballot which Barry he's voting for? There's only one Lyndon Johnson.
Okay. Here's some trivia. Who was the first president to ride in an automobile? Anybody? It was Teddy Roosevelt in 1902. He was also the first to submerge in a submarine and fly in an airplane. The first on land, sea, and in the air. TR. He was a mover and shaker, that boy. And in 1912, he was up to his old tricks. That campaign was one of the liveliest in American history. The Republican Party split in two, with the regular Republicans nominating William Howard Taft for a second term, and the insurgents organizing the new progressive Bull Moose Party to bring back Teddy. Initially, Roosevelt had installed Taft in the White House to continue his liberal policies, but in Teddy's eyes, Taft had wimped out to the right wing, so he decided to come back and reassume leadership of the country. "My hat is in the ring," he announced. "The fight is on, and I am stripped to the buff." But wouldn't you know, when Teddy wasn't looking, that darn centrist, the moderately liberal, democratic schoolmaster, Woodrow Wilson, stole the election right out from under him. In this Jazz Age satire, the chaos within the GOP of 1912 is lampooned, with all the major players portrayed as animals.
1, 2, 1, 2, 3, 4. The moon looked down and softly smiled at a sight he saw in a jungle wild one night, not long ago. Far and near, the air resounds with weird and most uncanny sounds that came from down below. Every animal delegate from each state, none were late, casting votes for each candidate for the president. The baboon said, I won't retire, although my term will soon expire. I'd like to run again. But another monkey, he got sore, seems to have been elected twice before, and it said, like, try it just once more, for the party must have me. And pandemonium hit the jungle with a dull and sickening thud, when each candidate started to berate one another and slinging mud. Every beast and bird made their feelings heard, some of them had only frowned. There was consternation at the nomination of the president of Jungle Town, yeah. And in the other party too, dissension started into brew, which made the donkey sore. The leopard argued with the mouse. He said, I'm Speaker of the House, so I should have the floor. Then the lion came from the plain with flowing mane to explain. Said, if only I'd use my brain, I'd be president. The elephant began to shake, called upon his aid, the snake, to see what they could do. Then the lion said, there is a cost, we'll pursue it as a last resort. Make the kangaroo our old dark horse and a hop right in the chair. And pandemonium hit the jungle with a dull and sickening thud. Ah!
when each candidate started to berate one another and slinging mud. Every beast and bird made their feelings heard, some of them could only frown. There was consternation at the nomination of the president of Jungle Town. There was consternation at the nomination of the president of Jungle Town.
He's the fourth Kennedy to run for president.
I'm here to declare myself an independent candidate.
But the first to break with the Democratic Party. Robert F. Kennedy Jr., famously known for espousing conspiracy theories about the efficacy of vaccines, officially launched his presidential bid last year. He's running as an independent, which means his campaign must collect anywhere from hundreds to thousands of signatures, depending on the state, to get on the ballot. Only Utah has confirmed that Kennedy is qualified. But his campaign says they have enough signatures to get him on the ballot there and in seven other states. Several of his family members are worried he could swing a close race between Donald Trump and Joe Biden. Some of his siblings are calling his run dangerous. Cousin Jack Schlossberg, President John F. Kennedy's grandson, calls it an embarrassment.
I know him. I have no idea why anyone thinks he should be president.
I am concerned that voting for Bobby is going to take votes away from Biden and lead to a Trump election.
But the 70-year-old says he has many relatives, including his daughter-in-law, who runs his campaign, that support his candidacy.
I come from a family, from a milieu, where we came home at night and ate dinner with my father, and he would orchestrate debates between us, and we were in the same way that his father did with him. And we could disagree on issues, And we could disagree with passion and information, but we still love each other.
I mean, just very clear. Well, then, never mind.
The door to the hotel opens, and what is Donald Trump wearing?
Silky pajamas.
And they were black pajamas,
yes.
Right? Yeah. So he looks immediately looks like a Halloween pumpkin or something.
I'm pretty sure I thought he was channeling Hugh Hefner.
Ah, Hugh Hefner, right. You mentioned
significantly
that.
Less sexy.
You made him change, right?
Yeah.
Yeah,
you made him change? Yeah.
You made him change. He did change.
Yes.
I wish you could make him change now.
Orders much better back then.
I don't know. I think maybe you could still order them around a little bit. And
I'd have to speak in Russian, though.
You guys had dinner.
This is very good.
No, this is very bad. I know, this is very, very bad.
We're here with President Joe Biden. You mentioned some classified materials, some documents recently leaked, some classified documents. And this isn't a gotcha show, but I do want to ask about it, that says you are currently 81 years old.
Who the hell told you that?
Yeah.
That's classified.
That's classified. All jokes aside, according to recent polling, this is a real concern for American voters. How do you address that concern going forward as you come up to the 2024 election?
Well, a couple things. Number one, you got to take a look at the other guy. He's about as old as I am, but he can't remember his wife's name.
Yeah.
Number one. Number two, it's about how old your ideas are. Look, I mean, this is a guy who wants to take us back. He wants to take us back on Roe v. Wade. He wants to take us back on a whole range of issues that are 50, 60 years, they've been solid American positions. And I really mean this sincerely. I think it's about the future.
Look, I think it's easy to be cynical and just say, you know what, it can't be done, because Washington's designed to resist change. But in fact, there have been periods of time in our history where a president inspired the American people to do better.
We must stop the terror. I call upon all nations to do everything they can to stop these terrorist killers.
When there's something new to do, it first here on PDQ. Write and join our national poll for president of rock and roll. The pop party of 72. It began here on PDQ. And the team we nominate are gonna win, cause they're great. George McGovern will shake the nation, and Bruce Kramer will too. they go all out for you. When it comes to rock and roll, PDQ tops every poll. Write and vote today. George and Bruce are on their way.
Sometimes a mudslinger will aim at a scapegoat instead of firing directly at his opponent. Here's a stunning example from the William Jennings Bryan Songbook of 1896. First, a little background. Times were hard, farmers were going under, and in hopes of easing the situation, they were clamoring for the free coinage of silver. Republican William McKinley's platform was the protection of the gold standard, which had been set up to facilitate international trade, kind of like the euro dollar. It was Bryan's contention that the Jewish bankers of Europe were in cahoots with our Congress to hoard up all the money.
There was a Jew in Lombard Street, and he was wondrous wise. He loved to see his millions grow and climb up to the skies. Said he to all his brother Jews, who loved their ducats too, "There's too much money in the world to profit me and you." Then all the sons of Israel cried, "Thou art a mighty Jew. In finance thou art weighty, and we all bow down to you. We'll seek that Gentile Congress far across the briny deep, and strike the silver dollar while the unsuspecting sleep. And strike the silver dollar while the unsuspecting sleep."
You may recall having heard about William Jennings Bryan's famous Cross of Gold speech that he made at the Democratic Convention in 1896. It made his name there as a great populist orator. Bryan stood before the delegates with his arms outstretched, as if crucified on a cross. Like this. Talk about a blurring of church and state. And he intoned, "You shall not press down upon the brow of labor this crown of thorns. You shall not crucify mankind upon a cross of gold." Well, apparently the floor broke into pandemonium as the delegates marched, men cried, the foot stomping spread like an earthquake. And then the delegates hoisted Bryan upon their shoulders and paraded him forward like the god he invoked. "For 20 years we've struggled hard against Rothschild and his gold. We've suffered loss and poverty and miseries untold. The party of the bosses has proclaimed unto the world devotion to the banner of this London Jew unfurled. So rouse ye sons of freedom all, and rout this alien band whose treachery and bribery have blighted our fair land. We'll coin the silver dollar in equality with gold, and good times will come back again as in the days of old. And good times will come back again as in the days of old."
Donald Trump has taken the state of Florida.
Right. Okay, so that's been called.
He is now on the doorstep of 270 electoral votes.
Wow. Wow. That's a horrifying prospect. I can't put a happy face on that.
Shirley Chisholm comes from an urban ghetto and is what all the other candidates for president can only talk about.
My significance is not that I am the first black woman elected to the United States Congress, but that I won public office without selling out to anyone. I intend to vote no on every money bill that comes to the floor of the House of Representatives that provides any funds for the Department of Defense until our values and our priorities have been turned right side up again. I cannot vote money for war while funds are being denied to feed, house, and school America. I am certain that more and more American women must become involved in politics. It could be the salvation of our nation. There must be a new coalition of Americans, black, brown, white, red, and yellow, rich and poor, who are no longer willing to allow their rights as human beings to be infringed upon by anyone else for whatever the reason.
Vote for Shirley and her delegates on April 25th, a paid political announcement.